Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Today's show is brought to you by friends at FanDuel. Remember, you can get $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win in the NFL. Remember, FanDuel.com, America's number one sportsbook. New customers get $300 in bonus bets if your $5 bet wins. You can join today at FanDuel.com. Join America's number one sportsbook. You want to lock that in? Go to FanDuel.com today and tell them you heard about it on the Believe in Ole Miss podcast. And now, back to the show.
And welcome in the Believe in Ole Miss podcast. Couldn't do what we do without all of our listeners and watchers. Thankful once again for all of you following us along the way. It was a big day in Oxford as the Rebels took care of Tulane in the very first college football playoff game on campus. And now it's the Georgia Bulldogs. And who better to talk about it than David Pollack, our friend on the Believe Network. And he joins us today. David, it's an absolute pleasure to have you as we visit in pre-production. You do incredible work. And thanks for carving out a few minutes today.
Oh, thanks for having me, man. The sip was rocking, I'm sure. And I love that we set the record for most Santa hats worn in one spot. That is the Guinness record. I'm all about Christmas. That was cool to see, man.
When you look at this Ole Miss team, David, I know you saw not necessarily Georgia and Ole Miss are mirror images, but they do have the same record. They're 11-1. They have the same conference record, 7-1. But Ole Miss obviously had Georgia – not necessarily on the ropes. I mean, they would eventually score 17 points and win the game. But it's just something about Kirby Smart and this Georgia team. What did you like about Ole Miss in that Georgia game? And what are you kind of anticipating in a couple of weeks in New Orleans?
I liked that Ole Miss I liked that they understood the way to beat Georgia and that they did it. Like, you know, a lot of people will go, wait a minute, Trinidad Chambliss going to Athens to play in front of, you know, 100,000 people, going to be rocking, going to be crazy. Why would we throw the football and put the game on him? Well, it's because we had the biggest advantage out there. And the ball came out quick, and they understood coverages. Georgia played off. They threw the ball short. Georgia played off, like, tight coverage. They took advantage of it. Trinidad scrambling, like – I think they did a good job of understanding, like, if you're going to beat Georgia, you got to make sure that you don't run it right at them. Lacy wasn't a factor in that game. And a lot of times if you say Lacy's not a factor in the game, he's one of the best running backs in the country, you're like, Mississippi's probably not doing real well. Ole Miss is going to lose. No. They were very much in the game, and they scored on their first five possessions. Five drives, five touchdowns. Like, so I think everything, you know, went their way. If I'm going to give a critique on the other side, obviously, Brad, it's going to be the defense. And not getting stops, like any stops, like zero stops. And that will be Pete Golding's challenge is, can they physically meet the demands that Georgia puts on you for a whole game? Because they don't make any bones about it. They got a QB that's going to run it. They got running backs that are going to run it. And let's be honest, their passing game is mostly revolved around screens, which is more runs. So physically, you got to strap your big boy pads on and be ready to play a full game because they are going to give body blows, and body blows. And then are you going to give out? That's the Georgia way.
I know you watched the Tulane game and you mentioned the Santa hats. By the way, I was told it was some form of a record of the number of Santa hats in the facilities. So who doesn't need an all-time record, right?
Dang right.
The facility was bumping. I mean, the Grove was where it's always at. But the stadium was on a different level, as I'm sure you saw on television. What surprised you or what, you know, kind of jumped out at you about Ole Miss on offense or defense on a big win over Tulane in which they went up 14-0 and just really never looked back?
Yeah, it was like seven plays, 175 yards, 14 points, no third downs. Like, it was just – I mean, listen, Tulane's defense, we knew going in, they weren't very good. So, like, we didn't expect a lot of resistance. I expected the atmosphere because I know Ole Miss, man. Like, these aren't average fans. Like, the Grove is one of the coolest spots in the history of college football. Like, if you go anywhere, it's unique, it's awesome, it's cool. And the loudspeaker for Pete Golding and the response, like, yeah, that is exactly what you want. Like, that's the best first-time head coach introduction, loudest applause in the history of the world, right? Like, it was clear, man, because this is a university that feels like they just got betrayed, right? That they feel like they just got slighted. In an opportunity, one of their best seasons, to go do something magical, their coach says, I don't want you. Because that's what he said, right? And so I think that hurts, man. But I love the response of the way everybody competed, the way they had energy and were galvanized, and the way they cheered on their coach, and the way they responded to their coach, man. Because he's doing it for the first time, and sometimes that can lead to some hiccups. And so the motivation was there. The fans were there. Now this week will be a little bit bigger of a challenge.
Much, much bigger of a challenge. And talk about the week. It obviously made such an impact on Lane Kiffin, who's now at LSU, and the football program. They decided to put out a somewhat of a video graphic, what have you, about those coaches that helped lead Ole Miss in the win against Tulane showing up on campus. They need a little bit of a rub, if you will. How has the University of Mississippi, in your opinion, outside looking in, handled the transition from Lane until Pete?
Well, I think you can only do what you can do. And I mean, Lane is a guy that's different, and his personality is different. This situation, first of all, stinks. And that's a college football problem. Like, the fact that we can hire a coach for a new job when he's coaching his team is stupid. Like, I think everybody in the world would agree with that. Fix it. This isn't hard. Like, if you want a handshake deal, so be it. But everybody needs to finish their season. Like, but coaches can't do it because of why? Because of the calendar. They've already had National Signing Day, right? Like, you're going to the playoffs. You're going right up on the portal. Like, there's a lot of reasons why that coaches probably, you know, feel like they need to leave and go to their next job. But, like, we're robbing the sport. We're robbing Ole Miss of an opportunity of something they've never been able to do in this college football playoff era. So, I didn't love it, man. I didn't love how it was handled. I wouldn't have done it. I would have probably chosen a different path. And I love that Lane found happiness. You know, like, I think that was really cool. And I don't speak to a lot of coaches across college football consistently, but Lane is one of them because I'm proud of him. Like, I've been proud of his sobriety journey. I've been proud of his faith, and his faith was continuing to grow. And, like, I feel like Ole Miss is the reason that happened. You know, like, he found a place that was unique, that was different, that was still upper level football, but like small town feel, and I got your back and I want good for you, you know? And then I think obviously to have the opportunity to leave and the way it went was probably just not the best look for college football.
On our postgame show that we do following the games, I said that, which probably wasn't going to be well received from Ole Miss fans, but it felt like the game Saturday, David, was cathartic on a lot of reasons. You kind of turned the page. But I do think it's important to reflect on the fact that Ole Miss has the first 11-win season in program history. They were ranked in the top 25, I think, 48 straight weeks. That's a place that Ole Miss football hasn't been. And Lane Kiffin was a large part of that. And I think and I hope that down the road he'll be able to come back and be welcomed as one of the best to ever do it in Oxford. Although it may take a couple of years to do that.
He's going to come back next year with LSU. He ain't going to be well welcomed.
Correct. That's obviously setting up to be a wild one. Is it fair to say, though, David, in your opinion, that while you can appreciate what Lane did, appreciate all of the wins, all of the things that he did in Oxford, but also have a level of uncomfortableness and disappointment by the way this all ended and how he handled it. Is it fair to say that Ole Miss fans could feel each one of those ways?
Probably not right now. You know, it's kind of like that relationship you had, that when the breakup happens, like, you need some time. Like, it's going to have to, in the South, as we say, it's going to have to marinate for a little while before that happens. Like, I think maybe you appreciate it, you know, a little bit down the road. But I think you still feel spurned, and you still feel like, well, we're not good enough. Why are we not good enough? We're winning 11 games. We're going to the college football playoff. We almost made it last year. Like, we're doing great things, and we feel like we can compete at the highest level. And I think they could. I think if he stayed, they could continue this. Like, with the GM and the relationships they have, the coaches they have, this wasn't going anywhere. This wasn't a flash in the pan. Like, and I think that new school college football is different than old school. I don't think it matters as much about putting a fence around the state. Yeah, the state's cool, but these kids are going to the highest bidders. Like, this is not a, this is now pay for play purchase, right? Like, I'm purchasing these people. It doesn't really matter what the school is anymore if you can bring, you know, the money to the table. So I think that you should appreciate Lane, and you should appreciate the job that he's done. The offense that he brought, the Trinidad story was incredible. I mean, this is nuts, but it's also fair to say, like, dadgum it, why did you leave? Like, yeah. You didn't have to leave us. You could have stayed. So yeah, I think there'll be some of that possibly down the road.
Yeah. There was a lot of sentiment of obviously LSU, Alabama, Georgia, the creme de la creme jobs across the country have those tangible national championship trophies, and they have the Heisman Trophy winners. But in this day and age, what he is kind of grasping at LSU is exactly what he was building at Ole Miss, which I think a lot of Ole Miss fans are scratching their head why you head off to LSU. Looking at this Ole Miss football program this year, David, FanDuel right now has the game at 6.5 against Georgia. You talk about a new day in college football and programs like Indiana and Kurt Cignetti, what he's been able to do at Indiana program that was not winning very many games in years past. And then you got a new kid on the block with Ole Miss. Where are we at in the world of college football, specifically this year? And could you see someone not named Georgia, not named Ohio State, win the national championship this year?
Oh, absolutely. You definitely could. You know, college football's changed, man. I think it's interesting. For so long, everybody's like, we want parity. And then it happens, and it's like, oh, this sucks. I don't like this. Like, yeah. Really? Like, we've got the most parity we've ever had, you know, in the sport. And Indiana might be one of the greatest stories we've ever had in the sport, to go from, you know, outhouse to penthouse with a first, you know, number one overall pick at QB and a Heisman Trophy winner and the number one overall seed and Big Ten champion. So I think that there's a world where that can happen now. Like, there's so many good teams. The talent is as spread across the landscape of college football as it's ever been because of the transfer portal, because of the NIL. So that's the name of the game, right? Like, you got to find some diamonds in the rough. You need, if you don't have a system, and by a system, I mean, if you don't have a GM and you don't understand what this game is, this is why right now it's the best time ever. Like, the big guys haven't figured out, some of the big teams haven't figured it out yet. Some of the littler teams or teams without the history have figured it out. They figured out the GM. They figured out the transfer pool. They figured out NIL. So, like, a lot of times, who's the team that wins? Who has the most resources, right? Like, it's been who has the best facilities in the past and the best recruits. Like, right now, it's a little bit different because the talent's dispersed a little bit differently across the country, and everybody's been drinking through a firehouse learning a new system. That's why I give Billy a lot of credit for the GM for Ole Miss. He is unique and great. Like, and I know he's gone. He went to LSU, but, like, that dude understood and understands player value, how to establish a system in which it's pay for play, and to iron it out in a way that everyone can decipher it, understand it, and realize why it's in place. And, you know, like, and again, I think it benefits certain coaches more than others. There are certain coaches that will sleep on recruits' couches to get them. Like, they're going to inundate their phone with texts and calls and visit the school and more time, grind. And there are some coaches that they don't want to do that. Well, you don't have to do that as much anymore because you can pay guys to come to your school, and that's okay, right? So it's kind of changed. You know, there's a lot of great coaches in this system now that are going to be out of the game. Kleiman, out of the game. Mark Stoops, out of the game. Like, that's going to continue to happen in this world because the business side of it has to line up with the structure and the coaching side.
You know, we talked with Director of Athletics Keith Carter, and he believes, or thinks anyway, that he supports a 16-team playoff. Not necessarily just a 16-team playoff, David, but we saw James Madison really struggle against Oregon. We saw Tulane really struggle against Ole Miss. Do those programs of that magnitude belong in the college football playoff?
No, and that's not an insult. That's not an insult to them. But, like, and I hear the analogy all the time. Well, the NCAA tournament, it's what makes it great, the Cinderella story. The NCAA tournament, in basketball, you play five guys at one time. If you have one great player, you can compete with the other teams. Like, this is 11-on-11 with special teams. You got to have a lot of great players. The chances of you winning is slim and none. Like, Slim and Slim just left the building. There's no chance that they're ever going to make a run and get in this playoff picture and like be in the Final Four. It's just not going to happen. So when you have a field of 12 and two of them are taken by group of fives, like that, there's 67 power four schools, right? Like that's, those are some missed opportunities for teams for financial purposes, but also to be able to play for the whole thing. Like, if we could have fixed the tie-breaking thing with the ACC, like, and they just take their highest-ranked team, Miami's in and Notre Dame's in, like, JMU's out. Like, this is, you know, this is a system that hopefully we just keep making tweaks to. Like, last year, the 1-4 seeding, it was awful. We fixed it, right? Like, they fixed that now this year, and I'm excited that they fixed it. Now, this next year, let's make sure we get the other parts of this right. Why not expand it a little bit? Like, it doesn't matter. Why not encapsulate the championship weekend some way, somehow? Like, why not fix the calendar in college football a little bit, man? The calendar's bonkers. Imagine having free agency and imagine having the draft, free agency, and the playoffs in the same month in the NFL. Imagine that bull crap. Like, that would be the stupidest thing ever. Like, and that's kind of what we do in our sport.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters' 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
All right, people, serious question time. Did you know that driving high is considered driving under the influence? That's right. Driving under the influence of marijuana is against the law in every state. That means even in states where marijuana is legal. That means driving high could get you a DUI. And if you think law enforcement officers can't tell when you're driving high, well, you're wrong. If you're high, they can tell. Your friends can tell. Your coworkers can tell. Even your parents can tell. Everyone can tell. So what makes you think that law enforcement officers don't know when you're driving high? You'd be wrong. They can tell, too. Driving under the influence of marijuana can slow your response time and change how you perceive time and speed. So even if you think you're fine to drive when you're high, you're not. Because the bottom line is, if you feel different, you drive different, and driving high is driving under the influence. So remember, drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
At MD Anderson Cancer Center, we're raising the standard in cancer care. Our world-renowned researchers and subspecialized physicians work together to turn discoveries into life-saving treatments faster. Through the world's largest cancer clinical trials program, we bring the most innovative treatment options directly to our patients when they need it most. Because at MD Anderson, we know cancer inside and out. Learn more at mdanderson.org.
Hear that? That's me with a lemonade in a rocker on my front porch. How did I get here? I invested to make my dream home, home. Get where you're going with MDY, the original mid-cap ETF from State Street Investment Management. Getting there starts here.
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit statestreet.com/IM for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully. MDY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
That makes no sense. So there's a lot of things we still got to figure out about the calendar.
You know, there were a lot of national football media writers in Oxford on Saturday, and the collective group were pretty much of the sentiment, this is awesome. I mean, having a game of the college football playoff on campus is awesome. And they even went so far as to say, let's push the bowl game back a week or two and allow some of these teams to really revel in that. And that was one thing Ole Miss fans were somewhat hoping is we don't want to be in that top four ranking because we want to host a college football playoff game. It's really interesting. $74 million was the projected revenue stream to the city of Oxford. And that's incredible numbers for a very small community. What are your thoughts about the playoff moving forward, maybe moving more games to campus, maybe foregoing a bowl spot at least for a week or two? And how would you kind of tweak the playoff as it is now if you would go to 16 and how you would lay it out, campus versus on-site bowl games, or and also including these other teams of the lower scale like a James Madison and a Tulane?
Yeah, the campus atmosphere is pretty dang cool. That's really cool. And like you just said, the financial benefit is great. And you deserve that, right? That's part of earning it. I'm very interested to see how the next round of the playoffs go because last year, 0-4 teams that had buys. No wins. Not a single one. So the rust versus, you know, getting a tune-up. So like Tulane game was a tune-up game, right? Like you got to – you weren't going to get beat at any point ever. You know that, but you get to run the systems, feel some things out, like shake off the cobwebs of being off for the holiday season. Like, why not make this, you know, 16? Why would that not make sense? Because listen, it's always tough to argue with, you know, the 13, 14 teams. Y'all did that last year, right? Like last season, it's a tough debate of being right there on the bubble and right there on the fringe. Like if we expanded it a little bit, it's good for a couple reasons. Gets more teams in. More home playoff games, more revenue, more TV product that's good. Those are all great things. Like, those are all awesome things. You know, another thing, it's healthier for the sport. Why do I say that? Because in this world right now, it's like college football playoffs are bust. It gets more people in the college football playoff. It gets more teams at the end of the season that maybe got hot and figured some things out. Let's go give them a try. Like, I'm still okay with – if we're going to do this system and we're going to add, you know, a group of five team, I'm good with having a group of five team. I'm not good with adding multiple group of five teams. Again, yeah. I want those spots to go to those teams that can win it. Like, it would have been fun to watch Notre Dame. If you asked me to pick Notre Dame versus A&M or Miami, I'd pick Notre Dame. But they lost those games. Right. Like, but they did find themselves, and it was a first-time starting quarterback that had to play those two games right out the gate. Like, and then you go and you have a great rest of the season. So I think if we expand it, we encapsulate more teams, it's healthier for the sport.
I think you just answered my next question. Is there a team, and obviously I believe Notre Dame is one of those, are there some teams that really have a legitimate argument? Or from a fan perspective, would have liked to have seen like BYU, Notre Dame, Texas, Vanderbilt. Are there some teams that you think have a legitimate argument or would have been more fun to watch in this first round?
Well, it just would have been more fun. Like, those teams aren't going to go on a run. BYU's not going to go win the thing. I'm sorry, BYU fans, you're not. But it would have been fun to see BYU versus Ole Miss.
Yeah.
That would have been more fun. Like, Bachmeyer and company, they could have made you guys work and sweat. Now, it wouldn't have been as much fun for you guys because it would have been a more challenging game that it would have been maybe more of a nail biter. But, like, I'd love to see Vanderbilt play Oregon. That'd have been awesome. Like, think about viewing those games, like the amount of eyeballs that would have been on those games. And now you're playing at least a quality team, right? Like, a team that is a better, that has a puncher's chance. So, everything about it is better for the school. It's better for the system. It's better for BYU's players. It's better for BYU's coaches. Same for Vanderbilt, man. Vanderbilt had a historic season. That would have been really fun to watch. Texas might have been in this argument, right, if we had it at 16. Like, a team that chose to challenge out of conference and go play Ohio State, and because of that loss, they're out of the playoffs. You can spin it any way you want. That's why they're out of the playoffs. Like, they had two losses, and they beat Oklahoma. They're going to be up there right near Oklahoma. Like, and it would have been more – so I just think – we encapsulate more storylines and more teams that are you know, that are right there on the cusp. And again, that would mean the world to Vanderbilt to get in the playoff. Like, and I know they want to tell you they're going to go win it. They wouldn't have won it. They wouldn't have. But they would have been in it and had a chance. And then you give yourself and your fan base a chance to go at the end to play for it all. And the more we do that, I think the better.
I didn't get a chance to watch in totality Texas A&M in Miami. We were working the Ole Miss game and trying to, you know, do the best we could.
All you really needed to watch was the second half. It was 0-0 in the first half.
That's my question. Did that game surprise you at all?
Yeah, I mean, that sloppy of execution surprised me. Again, 3 weeks off, both teams. They both had 3 weeks off. And it looked like it. They looked like teams that had 3 weeks off. And really, really good defensive lines on both sides. And here's the thing. Offense is the part you worry about with timing and rhythm. You don't worry about defense. Like, yeah. That's why the name of my podcast is See Ball, Get Ball. I'm a dumb defensive lineman. You see the ball, you go get it. Like, it's not hard. It's not as complex and complicated. And defenses have already had the upper hand. Like, the world, remember, we used to say, you got to get to 30. Like, get to 30 and we'll have a conversation. Like, that world's not really a world now with the top teams in the country. Like, what was the Big Ten championship game? Is 13-10?
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, there was a lot of mistakes by Alabama in the SEC championship game to get it from 28-7. Like, that's a different world, man. Like, that's crazy a couple years ago to think that you could score that little of points and be successful. So, that's definitely changed the dynamics in college football.
A couple more questions for you, David. Thanks for coming on. I think the timetable, we've talked about that a lot, Russ versus play. The calendar's obviously messed up. Just from a standpoint of playing games, do you like how the playoff is structured in between – in regards to the weeks of how the games are played? And secondly, what is the future, in your opinion, of the SEC championship game? Because right now, it doesn't feel like there are a lot of pluses. It feels like there are a lot of minuses in playing that game.
I sat down with Kirby last week on our show, and Kirby is as driven and focused and motivated as anybody. And he played in the old school era where, like, win an SEC championship, and that matters more than anything. Like, yeah, that's what you go get. And I asked him about that, and he was like, I don't know if it can survive. And I'm like, what? Like, when you hear that from somebody like that, you're like, oh, okay, you kind of take notice. I don't think championship games will survive. What did they change, Brad? Like, Indiana and Ohio State still 1-2.
Right.
Georgia still 3. Alabama still got in. ACC, you lost Virginia, which, was that a good thing? No, probably not, right? So, like, what happened? Texas Tech still got in. BYU probably got out. Like, what changed about the weekend, that weekend, or what made a difference? And does anybody remember that last year Ohio State didn't play in the Big Ten championship game? No. They were national champs. That's all that really matters. So, I think that we're probably going to get to the point where we get rid of those. You know, and that's fine if we're going to do that, but let's use it as another opportunity to make this thing a play-in. Let's use it as another opportunity to get more teams involved so we get more quality football, not bowl games that no one wants to play. They don't want to play them, man. Like, Notre Dame, there were several schools this year that opted out, and that trend will continue. Like, that trend's not going – just like McCaffrey and Fournette years ago, they started the trend of players opting out that went on steroids. The teams will be opting out as well. Like, that's going to continue to happen because the players are going to do it. Just like at Notre Dame, the players didn't want to play it. Like, they're out. They're done. Okay, well, if the players don't want to play it, I'm juggling a roster. Like, I want the extra practice as a coach. Like, I want as much practice for my young guys as I can. But if I'm juggling that and then I got – 7 guys that are opting out to go to the NFL, and then I got 10 guys that are in the portal, like that are leaving. Like, who the heck am I practicing with and getting better with, right? Like, it's a tough proposition.
You know, we saw last year the Gator Bowl with Duke and Manny Diaz. He had a skeleton roster against Ole Miss, yep, and it wasn't even competitive. And so I think there are some things that you deal with. From a calendar standpoint, do you like how the playoff kind of is structured right now, the dates of the different – first-round games versus bowl games, semifinals, and then so on, so on?
Well, I think if you move the calendar up and encapsulate championship weekend, you can play more consistently. You have more teams, you can spread it out as opposed to, you know, taking everybody gets 2 weeks off after, you know, some people, like everybody gets the first 2 weeks to kind of heal and get right. And then you have other teams that have a bye. Like, I think we could kind of do a better job of making it like the NFL. There's a couple teams that get byes because they've earned the byes, but everybody else is playing. And then you play in the next round, you play in the next round. You keep football probably going a little bit more and a little bit more consistency than taking so much time off.
We have, like we said earlier, FanDuel has this game at 6.5. Real quick before we let you go, if we talk, what is Ole Miss's best chance of beating Georgia in New Orleans in the Sugar Bowl, David?
I think Trinidad has to be Trinidad. Like, he's going to have to do what he does, and that's run the football, like scramble, buy time, get the ball out quick, take some deep shots down the field. You saw that earlier in the season against Georgia. Like, really be composed. He does a good job of attacking the middle of the field, and he does a good job attacking the outside, too, with the deep ball. Like, he's got to play really, really well. This defense ain't the same defense they played. This defense made Georgia look in the mirror and go change some things. Like, they are a lot more – their coverage on the outside, they play three corners now, and they had, at that point, they had really one guy that they trusted. So they're deeper outside. They'll be more aggressive. They'll be more game centric up front in the pass rush. The one thing that they have to do a better job besides finishing and playing defense, which are two big things, Lacey's got to be involved. They've got to find a way to run the football. Have to. Didn't try the first game. It worked out well until the fourth quarter. Trinidad with one bad throw, one miss, behind the sticks, bam, you kick it, your defense doesn't get a stop, ball game's over, right? Like, so I think, you know, having a little bit, you know, obviously you got to finish better, defense has to play better, but I think the running game has to bring something to the table. It can't just be Trinidad throwing. I don't think you can beat Georgia in this defense that exists now being a one-dimensional offense.
Yeah, you know, Lacey, as you saw, came out with a bum left shoulder, would come back in after a brace or foregoing a brace, and then would come back out again. So we'll have to see where he is from a health standpoint in a couple of weeks. Real quick, one more quick question before we have you. Pete Golding, very similar coaching arc as Kirby Smart, both defensive backs, both come from a lower level, fight their way up. Pete Golding, obviously, coach under Nick. And we know Kirby did as well. Where do you see Pete Golding in a couple of years, David? I'd love to know, is there a chance, I'm not saying he's the next Kirby, but is there a chance he could somewhat follow that career path and be as successful or close to successful? Obviously, we don't know a lot right now, but what are your thoughts on Pete Golding in that career arc as similar to Kirby?
Well, I feel very confident I can say he ain't going to be Kirby. Just because – there's only one of Kirby, and he's the best in the sport. Like, I would argue with anybody just the way he does it. And, like, if you look at the numbers now, like, all the starting teams that are in the playoff, like, Kirby's 90% of his starters are high school recruits. 90%. The next closest is 70. Like, 72, right? It's 72%. So, like, he's unique. He's different. He can demand and do different things. Here's what I'll say about Pete. I don't know what he's going to be. I really don't, Brad. And I feel like it's unfair to speculate. I like the start. And I'm not talking about the game against Tulane. I liked his demeanor when he got interviewed. Like, it was very calm, honest, matter of fact. Like, I think there's some good things that go along with that. Listen, to be successful in college football as a coach, like, you've got to have great coaches around you. He went and got a coordinator who's familiar with Ole Miss, which I think is good. An OC that's familiar with Ole Miss, that did it by himself, away from Ole Miss at ECU at a high level, bringing him back in, that's a great thing. Like, that's a good check. Like, you got to have great assistants around you. The GM component, you got to have it, man. Like, you lost a great one, not a good one, a great one, and to LSU. So, but, like, you got to have that component that lines up. Like, I think Pete's off to a good start. I don't know what it will be. That Ole Miss is on its doing this. All right, he's taking over a brand now that ain't the same. It's better than it was, which is a good thing, right? Like, a proven brand in the last couple of years that 10 games is, like, we can win 10 games consistently. We should be doing that. And so I think that those are good things going in his direction. I think it'll be tough to be what Lane is. Like, to do what Lane's done the last several years is a tough ask. Like, a lot of things have to go right, and you have to get guys in the right place. I think Pete's a good coach, but, like, Lane was really, really good, and there's a reason LSU paid him all that money. But Pete has a chance to to be the favorite right here. Like, go and continue to do this success and maybe take it up, man. I bet Ole Miss fans will build a statue of that sucker outside the stadium.
He's David Pollack, terrific player for the University of Georgia. And now, of course, here on the Believe Network, you can catch all of his podcasts on the Believe YouTube channel and also that See Ball, Get Ball, wherever you download your podcast. Kind enough to join us here for a few minutes on the Believe in Ole Miss podcast. Everything that we do, of course, is brought to you by our friends at T. White's and our partnership with FanDuel. David, thank you very much for joining us. It has indeed been a pleasure. Thanks for all of your witness. Thanks for everything you do in the world of college football. It's been a privilege talking to you today, man.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate you, brother. Good luck, Ole Miss. Hotty totty.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.